This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Coming up.
Boom! You're gay. You're gay.
I'm going through straight panic at the moment.
A Gay and a Non-Gay is a podcast from James Barr and Dan Hudson. They're like a lovely little couple, except they're not.
Welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay. I'm James, I'm gay, he's Dan, he's non-gay, and there's so much queer energy in our episode today. I'm so excited. Please welcome ukulele icon, internet kid, and TikTok pop punk YouTube self-love sensation, Chloe Moriondo.
Woo. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. It's so good to have you here.
By the way, WC, so Chloe used the bathroom just before she came.
Right.
Neither Chloe nor James, a British person, knew what WC
That's really funny.
Stands for.
Is it as common as I think it is? Because I've been to like a few restaurants, a few places, and I keep seeing like signs that say that. And I kept thinking of different things it could mean.
WC. I mean, I know it's a toilet, but I don't know what it means either.
Wash coochie.
Wash coochie. Yeah. That's so cute. I like that.
I couldn't. I had no idea.
Wash coochie mama.
Welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay.
I prefer restroom personally because that's so much more polite.
Oh god, I hate that.
Is it water closet?
Oh, maybe I've got it wrong. I thought it was water chain.
Water chain? Oh, because there's a chain.
Yeah. Pull.
Anyway.
Toilet chat.
I just say, I gotta go to the bathroom. Where's the bathroom?
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
But people get confused by that here because there's no bath in there.
Yeah, that's why I hate saying that.
But I prefer that. Anyway, yeah. I loved your tweet about boys nailing stuff to the wall. You tweeted this list of things you've seen on boy bedroom walls from personal experience. Hot Wheels, pants. Why do they do this?
Okay, there were lots of answers. I found plenty. I replied or like quote or tweeted, I think, one of the best ones. But it was really simple. It's just hammers fun to hammer. And I was like, okay. Simple enough.
We have a feature for this on A Gay and a Non-Gay called Things Dan Cannot Say, where he gets to ask a gay person things that straight people shouldn't really be allowed to ask. It's like a safe space for him to be offensive, basically.
I love that.
So we were going to give you the opportunity to do a Things Chloe Cannot Say, where you ask a straight guy a question maybe you've been dying to know the answer to. So it's your chance to put Dan, a straight white cis guy, on the spot.
I don't, honestly, this is really, I don't know if this is like evil of me or sad, but I feel like I have no questions. I feel like I have straight guys pretty much figured out.
Oh, really?
I love
like down
so
pat
much.
In the however many months of identifying as not fully gay that I've had, talking to boys that I've had crushes on, I feel like y'all are kind of all the same.
Oh my goodness, this is a revelation.
Wow.
And what do you mean by the same?
It's just the way, I don't know. I can't even describe it. It's like texting mannerisms of Ooh. A straight guy are really, really, really funny. I love texting a boy and finding out how he uses emojis or smiley faces.
Yeah.
If he uses smiley faces, that's like a...
That's interesting.
Flag colors, like, are really defined by that.
I've never actually asked Dan, like, what is your top emoji?
Would it show me?
Yeah.
On my phone, how do I do?
Will it show
See,
me?
See, that's a straight thing to say. How mean, straight people talk.
It's so go, ridiculous.
Well, hang on.
Would that show me?
It won't show me my...
I'll just
yeah,
look.
It will.
So yeah, if you go into here,
I'll just look,
and you press this button, it gives you your recently used.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But that doesn't follow that.
You're off
no,
mic.
That's your top.
Your top. I mean, I'm concerned about this. Your top emoji is the sort of frowning cry emoji.
Let me see.
This one.
Oh no!
Why is that your top emoji?
He's an anxious boy.
And then underneath a cry emoji, then a smiling emoji, and then an award emoji.
I can explain all those five. So we start at the bottom. The cake is at the bottom because it was my birthday yesterday.
Cake.
The awards I can't remember why I've been sending that around.
Is that Dubs. Because we were nominated for the British LGBT Top 10 Online Influencers?
Yeah, that's why.
Now, gaynongay.com.
That's why.
And then right now.
All the crying is because my girlfriend left.
Oh, God.
Aww.
So, yeah, I've been firing off a lot of crying emojis.
Aww.
So, but that's your top recently used, isn't it? It's not like your top.
It's like, frequent.
Well, yeah, it's... So. They don't give you, like, top all time, even though that would be kind of cool.
Mine's probably just the laugh emoji, to be honest, I think.
Yeah.
I just use that to end sentences now, even if things aren't even funny.
I bang that out on Twitter a lot because I don't want to sort of come across like I'm moaning about something. So if I put this laughing emoji on it...
I'm going to check.
I think the laughing emoji is... probably one of the staples of being a millennial.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Never used that in my life.
I've never felt so old. What's your top emoji?
My top emoji is the crying emoji.
Right.
Like the sobbing emoji. I use that when things are either really crazy or really, really funny to me.
Right.
And then all the the angry faces. The swearing one.
Yep.
The angry one.
You don't even have the laugh one.
Is that
there.
Is that the curry emoji in the bottom left?
The embarrassing
left?
One. Where, no, this
no,
is
it's
the
a devil.
Little angry devil man. That's me. Those are my top ones.
But you never use the laughing emoji?
Never in my life.
By laughing, we mean the crying laugh.
Cry laugh, yeah. I feel very choogy right now.
And that's an old person thing, is it?
It's kind of choog, but you know what? Like,
it's choog.
Live your truth.
I'm going to live, laugh, love. That's
exactly.
What I'm going to do, Chloe.
Live your truth
about
live,
it. I'm going to live,
laugh, love. If someone texts, I've had people text me laughing emojis before. Like, I'm definitely not going to reciprocate, but I'm going to love that. I'm going to ha-ha react to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm so old. I hate it.
No,
this is a revelation.
I can't believe you didn't know that. I kind of did know that, but I was ignoring it until you've confirmed
you're
it.
Old.
I am never sending a laughing face emoji again.
Do it. Live your truth. It's gonna be more old of you if you don't use it now.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me then. How do I? If I'm tweeting, but I don't want to come across as negative because I just think I don't want to put negative energy and give the impression of myself as being a negative person, which I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm sort of having a random whatever. And I put the smiling emoji, sorry, the laughing emoji as almost a...
a buffer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I'm not using that, what can I use?
I think nowadays, if I'm saying something a little risky to someone that I don't want them to think I'm mad at them about it, I'd send it. And then I'd send either a colon parentheses this way. With maybe a little nose or something mm-hmm. in the middle, or the cat emoji that's walking.
Yeah.
Do you know the orange cat that walks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the cutest emoji ever, and it just makes me feel so much softer and happier whenever I send anything to anyone. So I'll send it as a little punctuation at the end.
Nice.
It makes me feel nicer.
A gay and a non-gay.
You told us last year that you don't identify with being a lesbian anymore, tweeting, "Hope you guys still love me," and "Girls reign supreme." Do you feel less of a confused little worm now?
For sure. I've always been very comfortable with liking girls and being a queer person in general. I've been okay with being called that and calling myself that for a really long time. But having the label of lesbian, I guess, was a really, really a comfort thing for me. I think it's a lot more comfortable now to be myself and not be called anything because I don't feel super comfortable anymore being called a lesbian artist or whatever label artist. I kind of just want to be an artist, which I think is cool.
I completely get that. And it's so funny that you're going the other way. And I think that's so amazing and so hopeful to
so
me.
Funny.
We're a different generation. I'm a millennial and you're Gen Z. And it's amazing to think that people are growing up now more comfortable with being queer than they are having any kind of... I mean, I wouldn't call that straightness, but there's some straightness in there when you think about being with a... I don't know, is there?
I mean, I guess that's what it is. I consider myself a girl. I call myself a girl loosely. I have weird relationships with gender, and I think everything, for me at least, can be kind of fluid. But being in relationships and having feelings with boys, for me, feels straight. I've been used to being a gay kid my whole life, being super chill with it. And then I really leaned into it because I felt this was really who I was. And I was oh no, I need to not call myself things because that's... it's going
right.
the wrong way.
Because it can limit you. It can definitely stick you in a box that you might not necessarily be in.
And like labels can be super, super comfortable for people, and like such a beautiful community can be created out of a label for people. I think it's a really comforting and helpful and supportive thing for people to have a community of other people who consider themselves the exact same way as them, I guess. But for me, it feels the opposite, where like I love having a community of people who all obviously embrace themselves and are attracted to whoever they want and feel however they want. But I definitely don't want people to tell me that I have to call myself something, which so far I haven't, and it's really nice.
Talking of boys, I saw on your flight over you were trying to find the guy that you were sat next to.
It was so humiliating. It was so humiliating. No, I don't know. This is how my brain works. I immediately, when I think of like my stupid little crushes on boys, I'm like, that's so embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. It's so, I'm going through straight panic at the moment. So yeah, no, there was just like this dude with like curly hair and like a leather like Sex Pistols jacket that looked all handmade and shit, and he was in front of us in security, and I was like, I just know you're gonna sit by us, I just know it. And he did. The whole flight.
I love that you called it straight panic.
That's the perfect phrase to explain what I like went through and am like still getting over right now.
Do you have any straight panic?
Yeah, I probably have. But for me, it's always a girl that looks like a guy. So.
Love that. Love that. When girls look like guys and guys look like girls, it's like
it's
crazy.
It's a beautiful thing. And when I was younger, my friends and I would be like, oh, that guy's fit, and then we'd be like, oh no, it's a lesbian. So I guess that is a bit of straight panic, but I don't know why it shouldn't be. It should just be like, oh well, I fancy a girl then.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not gay. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This podcast is over.
I'm not 100% sure I get what you say by straight panic. I thought I did, but now I'm not sure.
Well, it's like a panic that you're not gay.
Is that what it is? You're panicking that you're sort of
feeling straight.
Right.
Is what I would describe it as. I mean, the phrase gay panic definitely doesn't mean what I'm describing it as, but I feel like I'm taking it literally.
Have you ever had gay panic then?
Which is what?
I guess that's the flip of that, where you see a guy that you think is attractive, and then you're like, oh my God.
A bloke.
A bloke, yeah. And then you're like, wait, I'm not gay. Why do I think he's attractive?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he's such a liar.
Exactly. I'm not saying.
No. There's dudes who are like that, but maybe they are lying.
I think Dan probably is fully non-gay, but we were chatting to...
Yeah, the podcast is valid, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We met Peter Satchell recently, who's this enormous activist. He's amazing. And he was saying that 1 in 5 Gen Z are identifying as not fully straight. Mm-hmm. So I guess some of them still are, but a lot of them are being a lot more free and able to just be authentic to who they are.
I think a lot more people would be just a little more comfortable with themselves and a little happier if they just didn't focus so hard on defining themselves as one thing and just doing whatever they want. In so many different aspects too, not just like sexuality or gender, just like style too. You see so many people online being like, oh, I wish I dressed like this style. I wish I had this style, but like this is my style instead. You could just wear whatever you want. Yeah. You could just wear a different outfit on a different day. You don't have to be one thing. You don't have to have one style or call yourself one thing if you don't want to. If you want to, obviously that's your own choice.
And same with music, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're quite a melting pot.
I never understood genre either. Obviously, I think genre is a big thing for people and I respect it. It's all very similar, but I just never got it. So I just do whatever I want and make what sounds good and let people call it whatever they want if they want to. I've never been able to easily tell people what genre of music I'm currently making or have made before.
Say it's Christmas and you're chatting to an elderly relative who's 90.
Boy. Yeah. Oh,
and they say, what kind of music do you make? What do you say to that?
Oh my God. I don't know if an elderly relative would even really know what, like, I guess like indie pop rock kind of maybe would even mean. Softer like guitar music with like a little bit of harder rockish guitar music. That's what I would say to an elderly relative.
At least you're not in a band, because then you'd be described as female fronted.
That's true. I do have a band, but I definitely am just a girl doing some music and having problems with gender, but in like a cool girl way.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe myself.
Yeah. I think we're all having problems with gender, right?
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, in a different sense to you.
Speaking for ourselves.
A gay and a non-gay.
How did you become, and it's funny to say this actually now, thinking about everything we've discussed, but how did you become so sure of your identity, so young? And I guess you're saying you're maybe not, but you're definitely comfortable with that. How did that happen?
Honestly, as like problematic and damaging as it was, I kind of grew up on the internet, which was a good and bad thing, but I feel like mostly good thing. I consider myself a lot more of an empathetic person than I think I would have been if I didn't download Tumblr when I was in like sixth grade or something. Like, are you kidding me? But that really gave me a space of people who like were like gay and cool with it from early on, who dressed how they want and were cool with it, or just, I don't know, made whatever they want and were cool with it. And I think having that was really important to me, being comfortable in my own skin, doing what I want and saying what I want without apologizing for it as much.
How did the older people in your life around you, your family, accept that at the time?
They like never really cared in a good way. I loved it. My dad never said anything about me being gay. He never said anything in like a good or a bad way. Like, he just, it was normal. Everything always felt really normal, the way I did things and the way I dressed and changed. It was probably the best it could have been. I feel really grateful to have a family that's really supportive and doesn't really care what I do as long as I'm safe and happy and not hurting anyone. I think that's a good environment to have at home, regardless of whatever other problems you might have, as long as you care about each other and obviously aren't homophobic. It shouldn't be a problem.
I think you just put me as close to tears as I'm gonna get today.
Oh my goodness, no.
No, it's just so beautiful, and that is so alien to me. That is such a different journey. Not that my family were homophobic, but it was a different time. I was born in the 80s, so there was a hangover of HIV and all of the like shame surrounding that and gay people, etc. So it's boring, but
boring.
That's amazing. No, it's boring. That's amazing. So I'm so happy to hear that. That makes me really happy.
On your last album, you've got this song Really Don't Care, which is about dealing with unsolicited advice. Do you have any unsolicited advice for anybody who's getting unsolicited advice?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. If you are feeling really affected by it and are getting really emotional about it, first of all, maybe consider how much energy is worth putting into something like that. But also, if you're like that mad, just do whatever the opposite is of what you think they want you to do and then feel real good about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So like if someone tells you to be less something, be more of that something.
If you're doing something and they're like, hey, I'd rather maybe like a little less of that, or like, I don't think you look really good that way, do it more.
I need to do that.
It's good for you. It's really good for you to just do what you like and some other people don't. That's not hurting other people, obviously. Do it harder.
Have you had any unsolicited advice, Dan?
Well, it comes from you quite a lot. James, oh. James says he'll preface it with, can I give you a note? Or do you want a note?
I don't. When was the last note? I think the last note I gave you was try not to gesticulate too much because blocking the camera for guests. That was like
what?
Last note.
What is that word?
You know, like move, gesticulate.
Oh, like gesture?
Yeah, I think so.
It is part of my identity.
So you maybe should do it more.
Yeah, exactly. Do it more now.
Apologies to everyone trying to watch this on the internet.
I do love doing it though. I mean, and now you've mentioned it.
I think it's quite manly. It's very straight to me to like take up space.
No, I think it's a confident thing. I think there's some very confident gays who like gesture a lot. I feel like I talk with my hands a lot, but not like
it's ouch. Not your arms though.
I'm not.
Dan's
ouch.
Like man spreading with his arms.
No.
Do you have non-gays in your life or people that identify as fully straight? And do you have any close ones? Like Dan here is one of my best friends.
That's crazy to me. I don't.
Really?
You don't.
It's hilarious. I really don't.
Really?
Like, I have had friends who like considered themselves straight, but definitely now like I know are not. I'm not going to out her, but one of my closest friends who I've known for a really long time always like considers herself straight and whatever. I'll like be like, no, you're not. There's no way we're this close. And no, because I genuinely do not have any straight friends. So I'll be like, no, you're not. Look at this character, this girl from this thing that you really like. Do you think she's hot? And then she's like, yeah, obviously. And I'm like, boom, you're gay. You're gay. It's like a little test every time. I don't think I have anyone around me in my like close circle that isn't at least a little gay.
I love that. That was definitely my life before Dan and I were forced to be together. I had a couple of like transient straight friends that would come in and out of my life, but no one was...
Like, not anyone like super close to me.
Yeah.
Which is, it's really interesting. It's fun.
Well, Dan's available if you want to borrow him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you can be my token straight friend.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, he's my token straight. That's yesterday he had his eyebrows threaded.
Yeah.
So he's...
Wow.
Yeah,
looking
he's
sharp.
Well.
Looking sharp.
It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
Thanks a lot.
Happy birthday.
That was one of my presents.
I love that.
From your girlfriend.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was, and it was quite the experience.
I've never had my eyebrows threaded before, but it looks like scary.
Have you?
I have, yeah. They just pull strings, right?
And yeah.
It kind of hurts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I guess because I've never done that, or nobody's ever gone near it, there was probably quite a lot of excess hair.
Yeah.
And it was just incredibly painful.
It would be.
Anyway, I can't stop playing with my eyebrows because I'm like, ooh.
Feeling fresh, feeling fancy.
Yeah, basically.
Amazing.
Good for you. Happy belated birthday,
thanks,
my friend.
Thanks very much.
Well, what a segue. We're going to talk about boys again.
Oh boy, can't wait.
But we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Okay, let's talk about Dizzy, which I love. And it celebrates love and nothing else, which is a mood, right? So how do we do that? How do we celebrate love and nothing else? Because there's a lot of people that don't want to do that.
Ignore anyone who doesn't, I guess.
I think it's easier said than done.
That's
maybe
true.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it is as easy as that.
I don't know. I think my solution to stuff like that has always just been... I keep saying, like, just do it more. But if you're really happy about something and, like, someone else isn't feeling as happy about it as you are, or is even mad about it, just hope that they feel happier and wish them the best and let yourself feel better still. I think it's really easy to let other people's negativity drag you down, which I think is a thing everyone is going to deal with until like the day they die. It's hard to just like completely let yourself be free of everyone else's opinions and thoughts and complaints about how you act. But I guess the more you surround yourself with people who aren't going to be negative towards you, and the more you quit reading comments about crap that's not important to you, or talking to people who don't care as much about you, I think the happier you'll be and the easier it'll be to love other people and be loved and such.
Find us on your socials at GayNonGay. Listen at GayNonGay.com or just search NonGay on your fave pod app.